This is West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. Coming up, the finances and accountability, or lack of it, in Michigan's charter school system was the subject of a recent Detroit Free Press series. We'll hear from Western Michigan University professor Gary Miron, who has studied and written about charter schools in Michigan and other states. But first, the idea of a carbon tax to address climate change. The Citizens Climate Lobby says that taxing carbon emissions would decrease greenhouse gases and help grow the U.S. economy. Recently, the Citizens Climate Lobby launched a chapter in Kalamazoo. Dana Maines of Fenville is the leader of the CCL's Kalamazoo chapter. Dana Maines, thank you very much for speaking with us.
Hi, thank you for having me on your program today.
Tell us a little bit about the background of the Citizens Climate Lobby.
Well, the Citizens Climate Lobby, it's a nonprofit, nonpartisan, a grassroots organization. We're committed to creating the political will for a livable world. We advocate for federal climate legislation, specifically a revenue-neutral carbon tax, also known as fee and dividend. Under this carbon tax, 100% of revenue is returned to American households. And I just want to say that again because it makes this unique. It's 100% of the revenue from this carbon tax is returned to American households. So it's a climate solution that can rapidly cut greenhouse gas emissions while adding jobs to the economy. So I'm just one of over 5,000 volunteers. We're really just regular people from diverse backgrounds that care deeply about the climate crisis, and we want to be engaged in getting the urgent policies we need at the national level.
And how did you get involved specifically?
Well, I learned about Citizens Climate Lobby through following the leading climate scientist, James Hansen, and he always recommends Citizens Climate Lobby at the end of his talks. And I am personally passionate about the issue. As a new mom, I have a beautiful 2-year-old daughter, Grace, and she keeps me really busy when I'm not at my day job working at Fenville Adult Alternative High School. And she's my true motivation to do this work. I know I have to step up and do whatever I can, even if it means getting outside of my comfort zone, like doing a radio interview like this or going to meet with my members of Congress. One day I have to be able to look her in the eye and tell her that I tried my best to protect your future. And if your listeners have followed the science, they know that our current trajectory of emissions and climate impacts is dire. We really have a small window of opportunity to stop catastrophic climate change from accelerating out of control and reaching a point that civilization can't manage or adapt.
Let's talk a little bit more about the idea of a carbon tax. Why do you think that is the best way to address climate change?
Well, the carbon tax approach, it has to be well-designed and it has to be revenue neutral. That is, it has to recycle all of the revenue back to American households. And it is right now the best solution out there for effectively cutting emissions at the levels needed to stay at the 2-degree target for additional warming to keep to our carbon budget, while at the same time actually improving the economy and adding jobs. So I could just explain briefly how this revenue carbon tax works.
Please do.
It's a steadily rising price is placed on carbon at its source, so the mine or well or port of entry. In our legislation, the tax starts at $15 a ton and rises $10 a ton each year, so that clean energy is actually cheaper than fossil fuels within a decade. And again, all of the money collected is returned to American households on an equitable basis. Under the plan, 2/3 of American households would break even or even receive more in their monthly dividend check than they would pay in added energy costs. So it protects the poor and middle class. And a predictably rising carbon price sends a really clear market signal that will unleash entrepreneurs and investors in the new clean energy economy. And really important as well is the border tariff adjustment that protects U.S. businesses and makes the policy truly international in scope.
So we would actually be getting a check. Those of us in the United States, we would actually get a check sent to us every month under this plan?
Yes, that's the good news, and that's what makes this policy actually stimulate the economy and creates jobs, because we could expect to see for a family of four, let's say two adults and two children, children receive a half share, adults receive a full share. In the first 10 years, so by 2025, the annual dividend would be about $3,480, which is $288 a month. And by 2035, it would be about $396 a month. And so that is what will offset the rising costs of energy. And if you're really good at cutting your carbon emissions and footprint, you can save even more money and come out way ahead.
Let's talk a little bit about this report by Regional Economic Models Incorporated. What does this show about how the carbon tax would work and what effect it would have on the economy?
Yes, this is a very comprehensive and groundbreaking study that Climate Lobby has just released on June 9th. And REMI, short for Regional Economics Modeling Incorporated, as you said, is it's a nonpartisan, totally apolitical economic modeling firm that's conducted studies since 1980 for an impressive list of clients in government, business, and the nonprofit community. REMI run the study on the tax applied to carbon content of fossil fuels, like I had described, and the key findings of the study are that in the first 10 years, carbon emissions are reduced 33% and 52% in 20 years. So that's huge. Electricity generation from coal is phased out by 2025. And then the first 10 years, 2.2 million jobs would be added to the economy. Between 80 and 90 billion is added to the annual gross domestic product. And real income per capita goes up. Also, a very important added benefit is because of reduced air pollution, 13,000 lives are saved annually. And the REMI report looked at nine regions of the United States. And employment actually goes up in all of the regions. And the largest addition of jobs is actually in our region, the Eastern North Central, with 400,000 additional jobs.
How does a carbon tax help lead to more jobs?
Well, by recycling the revenue back to American households, people have more money in their pockets, more consumer spending, leads to more labor-intensive jobs and service industries, retail, and it's also stimulating a huge growth in wind and solar and clean energy, energy conservation, and related jobs.
So is there an assumption built in that there's going to be enough energy created by those alternative sources, solar, wind, etc., that it can make up for whatever decrease there is in the energy that comes from fossil fuels?
Right, and it's also figured that this will send a really clear market signal for the transition over to clean energy and also for people to change their behaviors and be able to consume less energy and have the incentive there to do it and also have the money to invest in energy saving technology and, things that will help them to reduce their carbon footprint.
So does this require getting some consensus on the idea that climate change is A, real, and B, caused by human activity? Because Congressman Fred Upton, who is in the representative for your district, and this entire region of Southwest Michigan, and as chairman of the Energy and Commerce Committee, has said he does believe climate change is real, but he doesn't necessarily believe it's caused by human activity. Do you have to get buy-in on that before you can get people to agree that a carbon tax is needed?
It's not always necessary because just on the basis of being an important tax reformation, fixing a market error in the underpricing of fossil fuels has its own merits, and we can show the benefits of doing this carbon tax. But obviously, it doesn't serve anybody or Representative Upton or others in his party to deny or question the overwhelming scientific consensus on human-driven climate change. The latest reports from the UN International Panel on Climate Change, the IPCC, and the National Climate Assessment just released. These are consensus-based scientific collaborations that present rigorous data, our best understanding of global warming with a very high degree of certainty. And the reports are warning that human-driven climate change is already having dramatic health, ecological, and financial impacts in every part of the world, and it will only get worse in the coming decades. By their nature, these are conservative reports, and that's what makes them even more alarming, because they're really the lowball estimate. And the IPCC report says that under current emissions trajectories or business as usual, we're headed towards 4 to 5 degrees Celsius warming by the end of the century. That's about 9 degrees Fahrenheit. And we could expect to see breakdown in agriculture and food systems, increasing number and intensity of heat waves, storms, droughts, floods, wildfires, ocean acidification, and loss of biodiversity, sea level rise that will inundate coastal cities and displace millions, increase in poverty, food and water shortages, along with migrating populations that will destabilize many countries. Back to our Representative Upton, he is really in a unique position to make a difference on this issue. He is the chairman of the Energy Committee in the House.
Energy and Commerce
Committee. And he could introduce this type of legislation. You know, I really appreciate back in 2009, he was saying that climate change is a serious problem that necessitates serious solutions. He even said that he strongly believed everything must be on the table as we seek to reduce carbon emissions. So, well, here we are in 2014, and he's backing down on his position. It's like he's turning a blind eye to our future, and inaction is not an option. So we are working to present the best scientific and economic data available to our policymakers so that they can take a step forward on bringing real climate solutions to the table.
Congressman Bob Inglis, former Congressman Bob Inglis, is a supporter of the idea of a carbon tax. He was interviewed by our station last year when he was coming to Kalamazoo. Do you think that your cause has helped somewhat if you get people perhaps who were Republican office holders at one time, or would it be helped even more to get someone who is a current Republican office holder to say a carbon tax is the way to go?
Sure. There are many conservatives that embrace the free market, this free market solution, the carbon tax and dividend, like Romney's economic advisor, Greg Mankiw, former Reagan Secretary of State, George Shultz. Even Hank Paulson just published an editorial in the New York Times supporting a price on carbon to avoid surpassing critical climate tipping points. He said we need to avoid the climate bubble with a carbon tax. And there are several current conservatives that support the plan, but politically, yeah, they need to be able to have the courage to come out and be more public about it. And so we need to, as the people, support them to give them that political will that they need to come forward and support the plan.
You mentioned this is a free market solution. A lot of people would see any taxation as antithetical to the free market. Why is a carbon tax and the plan to keep it revenue neutral, why does that make it a free market approach?
Well, it's really correcting the market error of underpricing the fossil fuels. And it's a free market solution because it does not add any money to the government. All the revenues are returned to American households.
Dana, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Dana Maines is the group leader for the Kalamazoo chapter of the Citizens Climate Lobby. Links with more information about the Citizens Climate Lobby can be found at WMUK.org.